Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There was an alim, he used to go as Nabi Numa, one that will show Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he used to ask for about 1,000,000 rands, and then he would show you Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam really. And people would offer him that amount and he would show it to them. So his wife complained to him that you're showing this to all the world, what about your own wife? So he told her, well, you also offer that amount and I will do it for you. So she complained that the wealth that I get is from you. Where else do you expect me to get wealth from? He said, all right, then you just adorn yourself like a bride. Have a bride will wear a dress, how she'll put up the makeup, mehndi, whatever, whatever. You do all that. And she adorned herself like how normally a bride would do. Quietly he called in her brother and he's asking her brother, I don't know what your sister is all up to, what she's doing. Now she saw her brother and she felt very much embarrassed and she just felt fainted. And in that unconscious state she saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this whole incident was related to the Hadith of Rahmatullah Alayh. This is what happened. So Hadith said, what must be the problem, what must be his condition is he wanted some type of a mujahada, see? An exertion. You must exert yourself. You must feel the strain. And وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. As you make mujahada and you exert yourself, right? Then Allah Ta'ala rewards you for that. So these people that are taking out 1,000,000, obviously it's a mujahada to take out from your 1,000,000 from your savings. Say you got just 2,000,000, and 1,000,000 you gave out, right? So it's not a simple thing, it's quite a difficult thing. But now, his wife, where is she going to get it? Then he thought, alright, she can't do this much, then I must put her into some type of an exercise, some strain must come onto her. So when she dressed up like that, and she met eye to with her brother, she felt extremely hurt, pain. So that pain was required for her to see this. That was his experience. Now, it's not a hadith or something. Then now you must ask, can we do it, or where is the proof for this? So you don't need proof for these type of things. Anyway, when you talk about supernatural feats, then people like the story. You know? They like the story about something that is supernatural, something that is miraculous. People like to hear this type of stories. But what we fail to understand is an ordinary sunnah, just practicing one sunnah, for example, using the miswak, is better and superior than 1,000,000 miracles. Just one sunnah. You're performing namaz with all the sunnah you're doing it, then it's better and superior than 1,000,000 miracles. So that we don't consider as serious. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was confronted by one of his murids, that I've been with you for approximately 15 years, but in all this while, I haven't seen a single miracle at your hands. So he seated down the murid, student. Junaid Baghdadi obviously is the head of all the awliya. So he asked him, but in all this time, did you ever see me doing anything against the sunnah? He said, no, that I haven't seen. I can't fault you for that. So he says, that is the greatest miracle that you've been with me for 15 years, but you never see me practicing anything against the Sunnah. That there isn't a miracle greater than this. In India, there were numerous of these awliya-i kiram that performed all these miracles, and they performed the miracles when there was a need for it, not just as an entertainment or as a show. Like when we were young, in Spingo, they used to have Tommy Chetty. Yeah? He would ride a motorcycle on the wall, like a round room, and his motorcycle will literally go around it. So he's on air as though, and he's going like this. So about a year ago, I met one new Muslim on the road. So he says to me, do you know who I am? No. I'm the Tommy Chetty's cousin. used to do that. Motorcycle on the wall. So people like this type of things. Something that is strange, something that is not the normal. But this type of thing generally is not the better thing. See, people will get overawed and overwhelmed with Dajjal, right? And Dajjal will have also some type of supernatural powers. And the powers he will have, like, you know, you can't imagine. He will raise the dead physically, literally, he'll get the dead from the graves. Can you imagine now? He'll get the dead from the grave. Get them up alive. He's passing by a land, it's parched and dry, and he'll command the clouds, they will rain, becomes lush and green. The cows and the animals are going back, and with udders that are filled to the brim capacity. So he will have some other type of supernatural powers. And people that are used to all these type of things, they get impressed. They're going to be following him. So this is not, it is not a precedent, it is not a yardstick, it is not a criteria to see a person. In Thanesara, in a place in India, there used to be a jogi, right? These jogis, they do some type of spiritual arts, spiritual training, like how you have the yogism, right? It's like a spiritual training. Like you have a physical training, then you have a spiritual training. So these are different type of trainings that you go through. And with the spiritual trainings, you can do certain things. Like you can do some things with a physical training. A person goes through a physical training into a gym, then right, he started off with about 40 kilos and he can go up to about 150, 200 kilos and carry all these things. So that's a training. And whereas it was like something impossible for him to think about before going to the training to carry more than 60 kilos. Now he can carry up to 180, 200 kilos he can carry. So that's a training. The similar will be this aspect of the spiritual training. Like people go for karate, right? And they go through a training. And in the training, when you have someone, you can slice a brick. With the stroke of the hand, you can slice a brick. You hear the story, right? So this is a training that you go through. Before this, you could not imagine someone doing something like this. And after going through the training, he does something like this. So the same happens with the spiritual self. You go through a training, and in the training, you begin to do some things. Now, the ulama, generally, they discourage this type of thing, yogism. They strongly discourage it because this is eventually a gateway to Hinduism, right? It's got some type of Hindu connotations, but they're very, very discreet and very subtle. Person goes into it, says, no, I'm going for mental relaxation, feeling a lot of relief. Yes, you'll find some mental relaxation, there's no doubt about it. But that mental relaxation is not a proof of acceptance. You got mental, like you got physical relaxation. Physically, you're feeling relaxed, right? You had some type of a very odd type of an ailment, and some doctor had cured you. So, because of that, you do not say now the doctor is really the true person. I must follow him in religion. No, he mastered the art that he can do this thing here. This Maulana Bilal Qazi, I'm speaking. So, some years back, he was hurt, right? And he couldn't move his arm. Couldn't move his whole right arm, he couldn't move it. So he went for physio and it wasn't working out. Maybe about 5% he saw some improvement. That's only 5%. Then he went to India, Randhir, somewhere he went. And I think in about 40 days or something, about a 99% change he found. Here they couldn't do it 5%. And there they did it for him in about a month or less, or more than a month. But 99% change he had found. So because of that, you will not say now, they are godly people, you must follow them. They learn the art. When they learn the art, so they mastered it, they can do something what others cannot do. Right? So that's not a sign of acceptance. You don't say now that person is a godly person, he's a buzurg, who is a wali or something. So you don't judge the person by that. You judge the person by what? You judge the person by his adherence to the sunnah. Right? How strongly, how firmly is he committed to the sunnah? That's how you judge the person. Otherwise, these things are, someone can perform it, and someone can break it as well. Right? Someone can start it off, and someone can break it. When I just completed the course, you know, volume course, so there was a person in Spingo that used to do all these things here. So just for the amusement, I went there. Just for the fun of it. I said, right, do it now. And I am now focusing in a different way. That mustn't happen. He's focusing that it must happen, something must happen, what he used to normally do. And I'm focusing that it mustn't happen. Now he's trying more, you're doing something. So I focused that thing must be withheld. What he's trying to do, it must be withheld. Well, stop what you're doing. So it stopped. So someone does it, and someone can break the thing also. So it's just a power of your imagination. I was sorry that I did this, but it is completed now. It's for the fun of it, I'm not going to see what this thing is all about. So it's just about the imagination, how much you can use your imagination. And the strength of your imagination, how much you can use it. And then you impress the next person. To some extent, even the Taweeza, they work on imagination. Some of it is, all right, amal, assistance from Allah Ta'ala. Or sometimes they employ a jinn to do something. And to some extent, it's also just the mind, power of the mind. And the power of the mind, they make you do something, they make you feel something. In Naqshbandiya, they do it even more. They call it in their terminology, salb-e-marz. Salb-e-marz now, like you got some very severe, very, very strange type of an ailment. So, this person that is doing that tawajjuh, concentration, he will concentrate, right, as though that ailment or that sickness is first transferred into him. He's pulling it out. He's drawing it out onto himself, right? And then, after he's drawn it out, he's confident, then he repulses it, he moves it off for himself. So, they also practice it. Now, this is just a type of treatment. Zaji Rahmatullah was telling one type of amal. Right? One person got a severe flu, very fever, the fever is not going down, very high, running at a very high temperature. Now he's thinking of an amal, how to get this thing out. So he went into the open on a hot day and he's rolling himself on the hot sand. You know? And then he's addressing the illness. You see, oh fever, you're not going to get any type of hospitality by me. I'm not going to be sympathetic, say sorry, and look after you, give you soup and all that. I'm not going to give you all these things here. But if you want some type of hospitality and treatment, you see, there's another wealthy person in the town. He will give an excellent time. He will put you onto bed, that type of food. He'll spoil, really spoil you. By me, you're not going to get any type of spoil. You're not going to get spoiled by me. So rather move on to that person. He did that and he continued and he perspired like anything. In the meanwhile, when he went back to the town, that man caught it. So that whole illness is transferred from one person to the other person. So this is all mental games. And any person that plays with the mind, he can do these type of things. Right? He can't do it. So, our Buzuganadin very seldom they use this. When there was a genuine need, then some of them, not all of them, some of them had did this as well. They call it quwwat al-tasarruf, right? So, like we have our fairs here, you know, Ansar fair and all that, right? So it's got nothing to do with Islam, but this call it a souq. When you call it souq, when anything is Arabic, then becomes Islamic. FNB got a, they'll write in Arabic, they'll write, you know. So West Bank will write in Arabic, so it becomes halal, kosher. So anything that's written in Arabic becomes halal. See? Now they play mental games with people. So once, some years back, I think it was West Bank or FNB, and the regional director, he was here. So he came to the madrasa. So I showed him some type of respect. So he says, no, I'm the regional director for the Islamic department. Sat him down, asked him after, you know, how you say the normal hospitality and all that. Then asked him, but can you explain to me what is the definition of riba? No, I don't know about it. Then how do they appoint you as a regional? So they don't know anything. There is no some term, murabaha and muzarab, all that. But how it works exactly, what it is, what's the definition, they don't know it. One person came here from Al Baraka Bank. He says they learned all the laws, but 99% of the people on the ground, they don't apply it. They apply those same methods that are used in the conventional banks. Though they learned it, but they don't apply it. Now, when these type of questions come to us, I say we can't vouch for them, for any bank. Because this is the people that are on the ground, they are telling, this is what they are telling us. But they're afraid for their jobs. They're carrying on because they're afraid of their jobs. So they're not worried about halal and haram. It's a business. In the business, they're looking for figures. They're not at all considered not respecting halal and haram at all. I think nearly all of them are the same. That's why you can't vouch for any one of them. Sometimes the food outlets, they're doing the same thing. One friend of mine, he was passing some food outlet. So he saw, with his eyes, he saw a container, right? Meat from Australia, Australian meat. So he reported it to the Jamia. This is what I saw with my own eyes, that the container got nothing to do with halal. They got it from Australia. No halal, no certification at all. And they are selling it because they're getting it at a good rate. Meat is good and they're getting it at a good rate and they're selling it. They're not concerned about it. So those people got very offended. They wanted to take him to court. They said, but I saw this with my eyes, I saw it. Now how must I say that my eyes betrayed me? So these things, when they become commercialized, rather you eat your simple foods, do your simple business, and you'll see a lot of barakat. Right? See all this confusion and problem, fights, all that. Right? You don't feel inclined towards righteousness. You feel there's fights at home, disputes. You feel sad, sorrow, all that. Many times it's because you are chasing figures. Right? And in the chasing of the figures, then you're not concerned about halal and haram. Just make it look halal. Right? This is the whole story. Make the thing look halal. And let's go with it. Now, it's too much now. You know, too much you're going into halal, haram. Yes, I also say that don't overdo it. Right? Don't overdo it. Be moderate, but be thorough. But you're going for, be thorough. Now, some people overdo it. They overstep the mark. So, one person came to Gango, right? Now, Gango is Abraham, now he's the Imam of the Muttaqeen. So, he starts showing off his taqwa. He said, you know me, I'm very particular about halal and haram. I don't just eat anything. I make a thorough investigation before I eat something. So the food that was presented before him, he started talking about his taqwa and I'm very thorough about it. So Mullah's Khadim had to report that to Mullah. So all right, take the food away from him because he's not eating, right? Feed someone else. And tell him, see, there is a wild fig tree there that you can eat halal, absolute halal food from there. Just break the wild fig. poor chap, he felt so embarrassed, got up and he went away. He thought now that when he's going to brag about his taqwa and all that, Mulana will come to him and tell him, you know what, this is earned in this manner, this is how the money came in, and this were the ingredients of the food, and this is how it was prepared, etc. So Mulana didn't entertain it. So now, some people, they go overboard, right? This extremism, this is not the right thing. One person comes and he's talking about halal and haram and taqwa, etc. So, that person that is advising him now, he says, yeah, I hear there was a person that was very, very muttaqi and very, very cautious about halal and haram in Basra. See the story he's giving. What he says, there was one person in Basra that was very halal, very cautious. But he also slipped now. Because what happened, that he had some cows, you know, that was like his business, dairy farm or something. So he had like some cows, and his cow hopped onto the neighbor's farm, right? When it hopped over to the neighbor's farm, so some of the soil and the manure of the neighbor's farm went onto its hooves, and then it came with that manure into his farm. So from that day now, how going to make it now? Then when that manure or that sand came onto his farm, so if this vegetation is coming out from that soil, it's not his own. See, so what he did actually, he tried to show that there is no such a thing like practicing halal haram today. Now, this is an extremism. And the Sharia condemns this very strongly. This type of, this class of people, it condemns them. Because this level here was not practiced by anybody, not by the Sahaba Ikram, not by the Anbiya Ikram. So now, he wants to be even more greater than the Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, and they didn't go to this level here. Then what gives him the license to go to that level? Right? And that is in the lughat or in the definition of the fuqa, it's ma la yutaqawwam. It doesn't have a value, right? What doesn't have a value, then you can't say it's halal or haram. Like someone throws something in the garbage, right? He threw his furniture. Someone picked it up. According to the person who threw it, it's got no value. So it's permissible for the next person to pick it up. He made use of it. You cannot say, now he used something, it was haram. He threw it. Perhaps it was an old heater or something, and he threw it. That other person, he knows about heaters and all that. He picked that thing up, he fixed it up, and used it. So you will not say that what he used was haram. For him, it was ma la yutaqawm. It's got no value, so he threw it. That person said, well, I can make it work. I can make things happen. So he picked it up. So you will not say, now it's haram. That is why the fuqaha have written this type of, they cited this type of examples. Like you're walking on the street now, for example, and you came across one sweet. Right? The normal practice is that when you find some lost property, then you must advertise it. When you can't find the owner, and after a reasonable amount of time, according to the value of the lost property, right? Say the lost property is something not too expensive, inexpensive, say 50 rand or something. So perhaps about a week or 2 weeks you advertise the thing. Nobody came, then if it's a poor person, he can use it himself. And if it's a person that's wealthy, then he gives it out in charity on behalf of the owner. The idea is this, that must come back to the owner. Right? So either the wealth comes back to him, or the thawab and the reward comes back to the owner. He's giving out in charity on behalf of the owner. So he couldn't get the cash, he got the thawab coming back to him. That is why when you make all this hila, too much of hila, so one lady, she lost something, right? So she's really now going helter-skelter, and she's worried about the whole thing that I lost this. In her dua, she's saying, Allah Ta'ala, anybody picks it up, it's all right, but it mustn't go into the hands of a molana, you know. Because kisi tarah se wo hila bana karke kha lega. Mujhe to kuch milega nahi. I'm not going to get anything out of it. He'll make some plans, he'll work the thing out, see. So these people that are working out too much, everything, finding a stratagem for everything, then they are suspect, you see. It's everything, halalized this one here, make this permissible, a stratagem for this, a stratagem for that. See? So you can't then respect that person's credentials. What is he doing? Is he in there for the money, or is he in there for the Sharia? Is he respecting the Sharia and seeing that Sharia standards are preserved, or is trying to work out a stratagem to fill his coffers? Now, that becomes doubtful. So that's why I say the safer thing in this day and age, right, take little, right, what you sure and clear about, work with that, there'll be barakat, there'll be good in it, and you will have very little complications. But you're going to do all these things here, a lot of can come out, right? But then with it can come complications as well. Some other problems, difficulties, complications can come. So you're not so particular, not so careful about it. This is what's going to happen. So this, both extremes are not right. To be totally irrational, just going to dive in it and try and work out a plan for everything and anything, that's not right. And to become so careful, so conservative and so careful that even that which was halal by all the pious and the righteous of the past and present, that also you begin to condemn that also is wrong. That is why Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi, one of the greatest awliya of his time, he received a gift and he asked his khadim that pass it on to the mihman that has come. So the khadim says, Mawlana, but you're just asking me to give it to this person here. Zara apne tahqeeq kya ki halal hai ya haram hai? Did you find out, investigate that this is halal or haram? So Mawlana was annoyed that when this person seems to be, apparently seems to be right, when he seems to be right apparently, then you know, you're not supposed to be investigating this. Right? Like you invite me at your home, right? Now, I'm sitting at the table, asking the samosas, you filled it up with mince, right? Where did you get the mince from? You slaughtered the animal yourself. Do you see the slaughterer? Now that is overdoing it. It's overplaying. He's overplaying his act, you see. So now this type of extremism is not entertained in the Sharia. Moderately, now you did your investigation enough. Now beyond that, don't go beyond that. So these two extremes, this extreme or the other extreme, both are incorrect. Right? One person, now you see sometimes what happens, they try to show off their taqwa. When they show off their taqwa, then they do these type of things. So this extremism, then they bring about extremism and make life difficult. So I say, moderately you go and do your investigation and do it afterwards. Don't become irrational, not checking on anything. And don't become so particular that the halal things that are normally treated as halal, that also you begin to doubt. The shaitan has the bet over you, like in taharat, now you're having either drops came out or not, air came out or not. Kabhi shaitan piche ko dhakka deta hai, kabhi aage ko dhakka deta hai. Pushes from the back and from the front. Always now. Like you're moving like you're dancing, you know. Side, that side, front and back, to and fro. So leave all these things. A simple solution, I say, by Sahaba-i-Kiram didn't do all these things, yeah? Don't worry about it. Averagely, moderately, you did all your checkup, enough now. And beyond that, you don't need to keep stressing about it, am I park or not park. So sometimes people do this, they think they are going on the levels of taqwa. And sometimes it's just a show. So one person now is behaving like a pious person, like a big wali now. So they invite him. You know, when a person is pious now, so he goes to a town, so people invite you. So as they invite him, so first he'll go into a meditation, a deep meditation, and then he'll smile. Oh, now this person's food is halal. And another person will invite, now this person's food is haram. And how he'll work now, if it's an ultra wealthy person, and he'll make it haram, because he's ultra wealthy, and that person is a little bit average or below average, he'll make it halal. That was his gauge. So the people of the town now, all of them are not gullible, right? All not gullible. Some say, now we have to play, we have to work this person out. Let's go and see properly whether this person is genuine or is playing a game, on us. So how to work it. So India people are a little bit smart, you see. They'll put you through the bull. They won't just take it on face value. So what they did, they got one of these loose women, you know, loose women, street women. How's your wealth? All from this type of earnings. Absolute haram earnings, right? So, right. We'll see you, right? But you just host him. You wear a burqa and, you know, put a proper abaya and all that. Look a little bit like pious. And you invite this person here. with the same wealth. So she did very well. Now, she's not looking so well, the house and all that. It's not like, not done so well, moderate or below moderate. So like his normal practice, he went to a deep state of meditation. Said, this is more than halal, this is. So they kicked him and chased him away, you see. So what I'm getting at is, you see, there is a thing like Shariat. Just remain on the Shariat and find out moderately. Don't go over the limit. Over the limit, all right, did he say Bismillah? And when he was stuttering, did he wear his topi? But it's over the limit. It's overdone. You didn't need to go all this mile. You didn't need to go all this distance. But unnecessarily, you went to all these things here. So the thing that was halal, you made it haram. And the thing that was haram, you made it halal. So this extremism, this is not like la taghlu fi deenikum. Allah Pak says straight. In your deen, don't go to this extremism. Live within the parameters of moderation, you'll be well. But this extremism, really, this is what smashes things down, destroys it, brings about despondency sometimes, and sometimes carelessness. Allah Ta'ala.